Welcome to the Statosphere. I'm Lucid Dreams, being joined as always by my co-host Titan and Shrub. Let's get you guys caught up with what happened in last week's sim action. All right, I'm going to get you guys caught up around the league with some of the week 7 action. The Berlin Fire Salamanders beat the Arizona Outlaws 23-21, with Capricorn going 23-38, 241 yards, one touchdown, and one interception. Hood, Boyd, and Skiup all went over 50 yards, but the only touchdown comes from Okfunk. Hood went for 6 for 80, Boyd 5 for 61, and Skiup 5 for 56. King Jr. had 20 carries, 89 yards, and a touchdown. The Yellowknife Wraith knock off the Chicago Butchers 23-20. Colby Jack went 30 for 48, throwing for 344 yards, one touchdown, and one interception. Yellowknife would have two players go over 100 receiving yards, with Kai Sakura going 9 receptions, 110 yards, and one touchdown, and Mark Walker going for 6 receptions, 109 yards. Add in 2 forced fumbles by the defense, and that would seal the deal. Yellowknife takes it. Liberty at the Sailfish, Boss Jr., 23-31, 300 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 1 interception. They were looking for space for Ichinose with 27 attempts, but they would find none as he only had 77 yards. Javathan would have 7 receptions, 81 yards. Spence, 5 receptions, 95 yards, and Angler with 4 receptions, 82 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Sarasota takes it, 33-25. The Hawks at the Yeti, Matthias Caliban, 29 for 48, 338 yards and 3 touchdowns. William Lim, 8 receptions, 75 yards and 2 touchdowns. Rafael De La Cour, 5 receptions, 116 yards and 1 touchdown. And Richard Gilbert would have 16 attempts, 108 yards and 2 touchdowns. The Yeti rolled, 38-7. Orange County Otters at the New York Silverbacks. Sam Howitzer, 27 for 31, 299 yards and 1 touchdown. Jackson Kingston, 6 receptions, 107 yards. Running back, Captain Rogers, coming up huge in the passing game. 5 receptions, 97 yards. Silverbacks take it, 21-7. Austin Copperheads of the San Jose Sabercats. Austin's Jackie Daytona, 32 for 57, 372 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 1 interception. San Jose's Jamar Laxon would go for 62 yards and 1 touchdown on 23 attempts. On the other side, Austin's Jim the Vampire had 12 carries for 63 yards and 1 touchdown. Austin's receivers would have a field day in this game. Doug Howlett for 9 receptions, 101 yards and 1 touchdown. Vital Son, 5 receptions, 113 yards and 1 touchdown. And the rookie Bailey Cowabunga would have 6 receptions and 87 yards. After 5 quarters, this one ends in a tie, 26-26. The last game of the week, the second line versus the winless Hahalua. This game was all Nicholas Ayers. He had 31 attempts, 159 yards, and 1 touchdown. Hahalua get their first win. What was your guys' biggest surprise with the Week 7 action?
Shoot, I would probably have to say, looking at those games, I start personal with the Otters. They struggled hard against the Silverbacks. We were kind of hoping our offense would pick it up a little bit more. But the Hahalua getting their win against the second line was also pretty surprising. They've struggled this season. Second line haven't done much better, but they have been able to beat some good teams. So I was surprised to see them fall to Honolulu.
My biggest surprise is the Copperheads tying the Sabercats in that game. both those teams started off a little slow, and then the end of that game just turned into a, you know, I think there was a field goal, there's safety in there. It was just a weird game and how it ended. And, you know, that was a surprise for me coming out of that game.
Now, taking it back to last week, both you and I had that game going to San Jose. So chalk that up as a loss to us.
Yeah. And, you know, they kind of let it go in the fourth quarter there by giving up that safety and then, you know, letting up. I mean, Austin went down the field a few times in a row to put points, at least field goals on the board there. So they had it. They just let it up at the last quarter.
Yeah, and as you said, that safety was key. That kept them in the game right there.
Mm-hmm.
And then going back to what Shrub said about Hahalua, both you and I had that as our hot take of the week. Hahalua getting their first win over NOLA. Yep. So we can chalk that up as a win for both of us.
Oh, nice. Not surprising for you guys, then.
And on top of that, we actually said that game was going to be by multiple touchdowns.
And then, I mean, give credit to the Liberty for playing so close with the Sailfish, too. You know, that was a surprising game. You know, you said it was an upset of the week, but, you know, I said that we were going to lose. I believe I did get that right. We're going to lose by a touchdown.
You said we were going to lose by 10 points, and it was 8 points. So I would say that was pretty close to on the money there.
So, yeah, I mean, we still played close with one of the best teams in the league. So I'm proud of the team for that. But other than that, I don't think there's too much surprise. Outlaws and Fire Salamanders duked it out there in that game. There are a lot of turnovers, especially late by the Outlaws. And then the Race and Butchers duked it out. So, I mean.
We both had that game wrong as well. We both called the Butchers to win that game.
It was close, though.
Yeah, they kept themselves in there.
That one came down to a last-minute field goal as well.
And then going back to the Berlin-Arizona game, just looking at our last week predictions, we both called that one correctly. We both said Berlin was going to win. However, you predicted that one as double digits, so I'm going to go ahead and put you on the spot for that incorrect prediction.
Yeah, that's all right. Arizona played really well at the beginning of the game, and then they – you know, made a bunch of turnovers at the end. I mean, they held them defensively at the end, but their offense also let up, you know, turnovers to make that game the way it ended up. So that final field goal really put the nail in the coffin for them.
That's tough for Arizona too, because they're not really much a come from behind type team. You know, they like to build those leads and sit on them.
No, and they definitely seem to have been struggling to get it going.
Well,
these last couple weeks.
And Nakamura had 2.4 yards per carry on 10 attempts that game. Like, that's just a credit to the Berlin defense being able to stop him.
Yeah, I think looking a little more into it, that's probably more surprising than anything. When you shut Nakamura down, that Arizona offense seems to fall flat.
Yeah, reigning MVP held. I mean, he did get a touchdown out of that game, but goal line touchdown.
All right, so week 8 finished off with NOLA last week. We'll start with them this week. They played the Berlin Fire Salamanders. It was a defensive struggle until Berlin's offense finally woke up in the fourth quarter. They scored 17 points to try and come back, but it was not enough. Berlin ended up falling to NOLA 21-20. My player spotlight is Tyrone Shields. He had 6 tackles, a sack, and 1 interception, which he took all the way to the house, which was the difference between a win or loss for NOLA. Next, we have the Yellowknife Wraiths playing the San Jose Sabercats, and that was a wild game featuring 2 offenses that went crazy. I can definitely see playoff implications with this game. San Jose is fighting for a 3rd seed while Yellowknife is trying to keep a spot in the playoffs. Yellowknife built a hefty lead only to see it dwindle. San Jose scored 16 points in the fourth quarter to tie it up and bring it to overtime. They couldn't stop the Wraiths offense though, as they ended up scoring on a 73-yard walk-off catch. My player spotlight goes to Colby Jack, who was 30 of 46 for 479 yards and 5 touchdowns. Not a bad performance there.
Let's not forget Sakura in that game, by the way. 7 catches, 232 yards, and 3 touchdowns for Yellowknife.
Yep, that's definitely a good performance. Definitely helped them win there. Up next, we got the Orange County Otters versus the Sarasota Sailfish. Orange County's offense came alive this game against a good Sarasota defense. They scored early and kept the lead throughout, winning 37-27. My player spotlight goes to Garfield Despacito Jr., Orange County. He had 5 receptions for 136 yards and a touchdown. Definitely kept the offense moving. Up next, we got the Colorado Yeti at the Austin Copperheads. This was another game this week where a team was down big early, only to come back and make it a close game. Austin scored 14 points in the fourth quarter to keep it close. After scoring and bringing it within 3, all they needed was one stop to get the ball back. Colorado took the ball with 4 minutes left, and Austin could not stop them. They're able to run out the clock and seal the victory. My player spotlight for this game is William Lynn, receiver for Colorado, who had 9 receptions, an astounding 204 yards and a touchdown. I think he had something like 27 yards per reception that game. It's ridiculous. And after that, we have Chicago taking on Honolulu. This was a back and forth game between two teams that are at the bottom of their respective divisions. It was still great football, though, and exciting to watch. Chicago scored a touchdown with 20 seconds remaining in the fourth quarter to take the lead. The final score was Chicago 30, Honolulu 27. My player spotlight goes to Alejandro Chainbreaker, who had 4 tackles, 2 tackles for loss, a sack, a forced fumble, and a safety. What a game. All right, and next we have Arizona versus Philadelphia. Arizona was heavily favored in this matchup, and it showed throughout the game. Arizona's offense struggled, but their defense was locked down. They only gave up garbage time points in the fourth quarter, winning 19-9. My player spotlight goes to your boy, Ryan Nakes, quarterback for Philly, for actually not throwing a pick this game. It's pretty amazing. But in all seriousness, I would actually give my player spotlight to Charlamagne Cortez, quarterback for Arizona, who did a great job managing the game. He went 24-32 for 312 yards and a touchdown with no interceptions. And to wrap up the week, we have the New York Silverbacks against the Baltimore Hawks. This is a game that the Silverbacks should have won, and they did. The Hawks really didn't show much sign of life throughout this game. They ended up losing it 27-9, a Silverback victory. My player spotlight goes to running back Captain Rogers of the Silverbacks, who had 16 carries, 122 yards, and a touchdown.
Going back to the Colorado Yeti versus the Austin Copperheads, I just want to mention Mattathias Caliban's 553 passing yards in that game.
Oh, yes, he did have an insane amount of passing yards. I was torn between who to give the player spotlight to.
35 for 47, 553 passing yards, 3 touchdowns. And this one is a little surprising for him, 2 interceptions.
Sure. Looking at that, I really do like his performance, but I felt like a lot of it was built on the back of William Lim's 200-yard performance, which is incredibly rare to see in the sim.
That connection between Galban and Lim has been there for how many seasons now? You know, like they just keep hooking up and keep hooking up repeatedly to get those yardage, and it just shows, you know, season after season that Lim is in the top 5. Receiving yards, and Caliban is in the top 5 for passing yards. My surprise for the week was the Otters versus the Sailfish. Otters pulling that one out in pretty demanding fashion throughout the first 3 quarters. I mean, this is what I talked about last week with their defense. You know, the defense for the Otters, you know, they have been lights out for the majority of the year. But that fourth quarter, they let up those 14 points, and that's the only thing that made that game not just a complete blowout, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was impressive by the Otters to take it to one of the best teams in the league. Their offense showed up that game. Tank, again, you know, I repeat to what I said last week with Tank, Lucid, you know, he gets his rushes and he gets his yards, and they control the game. You know, their defense is able to control the game along with their rushing game.
Yeah, I think another performance or another game from last week or week eight that really surprised me was the second line versus the Fire Salamanders. The second line coming up with the 21-20 victory over Berlin.
Oh, yeah.
NOLA just seems to be one of those teams that's up and down, and I just did not expect them to perform like that over a team that I still feel is one of the better ones in the league.
Well, and one of the only touchdowns the Fire Salamanders had was a defensive touchdown by Tyron Shields. So it just showed how much NOLA's defense controlled that game. And against an offense like that, it is a shocker that they were able to control the game that much and make sure that Berlin didn't get in the end zone. It was just crazy.
And NOLA to me seems like one of those teams that plays to the level of their opponents. Because they've also beaten the Outlaws. And so two of their three victories have come against really good teams, but they also struggle against teams that they should be beating, it seems like.
Yeah, like the Hahalua.
Yeah, they have four victories, not three. Excuse me.
But yeah, that's a shocker. And they didn't even play well offensively that game, to be honest. They played just well enough, you know, to get that win. They didn't have anybody that really stood out offensively. You know, Roethlisberger had two touchdowns, two picks that game. So, you know, even that, it was their defense that really lit it up. They had a safety and a defensive touchdown that game.
Yeah, you start looking at the different performances, there's, you know, nobody really stands out. I mean, you got Rosh Burns with 65 yards on 20 attempts, only averaging 3.2 yards per carry.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's probably the most noteworthy performance on the entire stat sheet.
Yeah, outside of defense, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. On the offensive side of the ball, there's nothing there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just a weird game.
Yeah, that's
good job to NOLA pulling that one out against one of the best teams in the league.
Yep.
I think I know we discussed the stats for the Yeti game, but I think Austin keeping that game close or bringing that game close in the end was a big surprise too. Copperheads, you know, haven't really been performing well this season, and to do that against a Yeti team like that and almost pull the upset, I think was kind of a shock for me as well.
Agreed. Alrighty, moving on to week 9.
What do you got for us, Titan?
Week 9.
There are some big scoring games in this, and there are some big important games that people either should have won or won in this week. So we go to the Austin Copperheads versus the Berlin Fire Salamanders, and this was an absolute just bombing in this one. The Salamanders took it to them real quick. They scored 24 in the second quarter, ended up pulling this game out 50-21 against the Copperheads, and we expected them to win this game, but to win just in this fashion was surprising. My player of the game for this one was Berlin's running back Danny King Jr. 20 rushes, 134 yards, and a touchdown. Honorable mention here was Jackie Daytona, going 19 of 29 for 239 yards and 3 touchdowns in that game. Which two of those were in the fourth quarter. So trying to bring it back, didn't quite bring it back, but respectable nonetheless, and not have turnovers there. Next game up was the Hahalua versus the Wraiths. Expected this game to be close, and it was. Although the Hahalua were really out in front in this game all the way up until the fourth quarter, in which the Wraiths shut them out, ended up winning with 14 points in the fourth quarter. The Wraiths did 28-27. My player of the game for this one, it was hard to pick for this one because a lot of people had good games offensively in this game. I give it to Kai Sakura though, 7 catches, 125 yards, and a touchdown. Ayers did have an almost 100 yard rushing game with a touchdown as well, so that's my honorable mention there. Next game up was a really important game, I think, between the Sailfish and the Silverbacks. Another close game this week in which the offenses just kind of went back and forth on each other. Silverbacks ended up coming back in the fourth quarter, tying it up, going into OT. And then there's the big play to end it, to Brandon Prince, their backup running back there, who took it 42 yards for the touchdown in OT to win it over the Sailfish. That was an important game, you know, 30-24 there. They won that one. Player of the game for this one, another one, hard one to pick, but I go with Howitzer. He had 34 passes, 449 yards, three touchdowns, and a pick. But man, that last one was big. A 42-yard pass to Brandon Prince was a big one. Next game up was Arizona versus Colorado. This is another big game for the Yeti, really trying to prove themselves that they belong at the top of their division by beating one of the top people in the other division. They ended up taking this one from the Outlaws pretty handily, 32-19, which was kind of surprising for me. Arizona seems to play a lot, you know, more solid defense than this, but the Yeti just had their number. My player of the game goes to the rookie tight end for Colorado, Maxwell, 9 catches, 147 yards for him. A lot of those are big catches too that took them, you know, for first downs, big yardage on those. So congrats to him. Caliban had a great game. You know, he was very efficient, 390 yards and a touchdown. But their rushing game was really carrying him on that one as well. Next game up, second line, NOLA versus the Chicago Butchers. Another big scoring game for the Butchers. Second line seems to play, as you said, the last the week, Shrub, second line played to their opponents. And I don't know why, you know, if they can take it to the top teams, but yet they play against the lower teams like this. It's confusing. It's a conundrum. But Butchers ended up taking this one 40-23. Pretty commanding victory in this one. My player of the game was Baby Yoda. 9 rushes, 116 yards, 2 touchdowns. Still having a great season, even though he's given up a lot of touches to Madison Hayes, which Hayes also had a pretty good game in this one. Runner-up for this one was Bodenhammer, 5 catches, 131 yards for NOLA. He's been having a great season. One of the people that we talked about in an earlier episode, being a person that's kind of come out for NOLA and been a real leader for them offensively. Next game, this one's kind of personal here. We got two Phillies here and an Otter.
Well, here we go.
Well, we had the Otters versus the Liberty. You know, Liberty's defense, I think, has been consistently above average. They do keep good teams to low amounts of points, except for like 1 or 2 point games. But what surprised me here is that the Otters defense kind of led it up against an offense that has been struggling. Liberty ended up pulling this one out in a pretty commanding fashion, 34-16. You know, Chambers had a great game. This one was just a lot of team play, because nobody had super high numbers in this game. But I think that my player of the game goes to Gary Goodman with his defensive touchdown he had on a very, very key strip sack in the end zone to give us some points in the third quarter. So that was really important play, and I think that he earned that one. But Liberty defense looking to be scary as they develop here. Same with the Otters defense, though, to be honest. Bender Rodriguez also had an interception in this one. So that
against
was right away
Mays.
In the beginning of the game.
Let's go.
That was a personal fight right there.
Before we move on, I also do want to highlight Bruckner's 2 penalties in that game, just to bring that to Greg's attention.
How many yards were they? 8 yards.
Only eight yards, but he led the team in penalties. That's the only thing that matters right now.
Another stat that doesn't get respected a lot is pancakes in a game, and Simon Tremblay put up 13 pancakes in that game.
Jeez.
Allowing no sacks. So that's pretty impressive. And then just a little shout out to me, rookie leading the tackles on the season so far. What's up? All right, next game, Sabercats versus the Hawks. I expected the Sabercats to take this one pretty handily. Ended up not being the case. Baltimore took the lead early, in the second quarter, put up another 3 points, but then the Sabercats brought it back and almost came back. But the final score is 24-21 Hawks. Surprising stat of the game was that Jack threw 4 interceptions against Baltimore secondary. That's pretty crazy. My player of the game goes to Danny King, though, rookie running back for the Hawks. 19 rushes, 114 yards, and a touchdown. But yeah, those 4 picks by Jack, real backbreaker in this one for them. So that's week 9.
Starting off, I think the biggest surprise for me, let's go to the personal game. Liberty beating the Otters. As many times as I picked the Liberty to win, I did not pick the Liberty to win this game.
I don't think I did either on predictions.
You know, and I've picked the Liberty, like I said, we talked about, I picked the Liberty to beat the Sailfish. Like, I have a lot of faith in the Liberty. I just didn't feel like this was a strong game or, you know, a game that they could perform well in. So it surprised me that they not only did the Liberty win, but they won 34-16.
Yeah, it's one of those games where it's a very good defense up against offense, like I said, that has been struggling, you know. In Philly, we just have had troubles consistently get the ball downfield for big plays. And in this game, we had, I think it was four plays that were over 30 yards through the air. So that's pretty impressive against the defense like the Otters have.
See, I'm going to have to take a cue from you guys and not pick the Otters, because I picked the Otters for this game and they lost. You guys. So maybe
we cursed you. We did it on purpose.
Yeah. Right. Getting that feeling around here. But it definitely was surprising to see how many points the Otters let up that game. The other thing that was disappointing for me being on the Otters was seeing our offense actually move the ball, but not being able to punch it in. I think we went to the red zone 4 times and had 3 field goals and a turnover. That's just not the way you win games.
Yeah. Philly's bend but don't break defense.
Yeah. That's for sure.
Yeah, and I know we discussed it last week. You know, the Otters defense has been, you know, one of the best in the league, and to see them give up 34 points like that is – I don't know. It was just – that game, I think, really surprised me.
Yeah. Shrub, what do you got? Oh, sorry.
I would say my surprise of the week didn't come from a game result, but from a player result. And that was Nakamura being held for less than 50 yards against the Yeti.
Again.
Yep, again. It seems like teams are making it their priority to stop him. Which is pretty crazy because the Yetis do have a pretty good rush defense. They're 4th overall, but still, to hold down the best running back in the league to that low of a production, that's how you win games.
Well, and more importantly, the Yeti have been known to stop passing offenses, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they bring such pressure on sacks. They lead the league in sacks by a decent amount the last time I had looked. I believe they still do. But you have people on that defense who are just ravenous at getting to the quarterback. And in this game, they showed that they did both things. You know, they made the Outlaws one-dimensional in their offense, and it really, really showed the holes there.
Well, and then going back to their offense, the rookie Maxwell, you know, aside from just this game, I know you highlighted him in the week review, but aside from just this game, in the last three weeks of the sim, he's had like incredible performances. Like, if you check out individual stats, he went in the week before, he went 7 receptions for 156 yards and 2 touchdowns. We didn't touch on it because that's the same week that Lim went for 204 yards. But, you know, I just think that's a consistent performance of, you know, breaking 100 yards receiving. By a rookie, that's definitely needs to be brought up.
Well, and he was a safety coming out of the draft into the ISFL, and they switched him to wide receiver. But on the stream, it looked like he was playing. It was either a slot really close to the line or a tight end, and he was getting all these yards. He's getting all these yards out of that position, which is kind of cool to see that hybrid type of utility, you know?
I think another game that surprised me for that week was the Hawks beating the Sabercats.
Yep.
You know, I spent all last week in the podcast discussing how I thought the Sabercats were pretenders and how I didn't think they belonged in the top. But losing to the Hawks, I just – that kind of shows me exactly where they're at.
Well, and in that game, let's take a look at the rushing game for the Hawks. I mean, you had Bush Goose, who had 19 attempts for almost 100 yards, 99 yards. And then you had Danny King, who had 19 attempts for 114 yards and a touchdown. That's crazy. That is nuts to have that powerful of a rushing game, you know, and then to have two of those both those players be a year two player and a rookie, you know, that's a shocker.
Oh yeah. It's especially for, you know, like a Hawks team that's been struggling to perform this season. Then they just come out and perform like that. Like out of nowhere, all of a sudden you have a Hawks team that knows how to move the ball.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're towards they are the bottom of the league in points for. They've had 167 points for it through the 9 weeks of the season. And it's just not been a team that's been able to move the ball. So seeing that performance is, I think, one of the bigger surprises of the week.
Yeah, I think that says more about the Sabercats team than it does the Hawks. The Hawks are up and coming, but the Sabercats got to shut that down if they want to be in the playoff hunt.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you guys think? We're 9 weeks through the season. What do you guys think right now?
I'm hungry. No, I'm just kidding. I think it's surprising to me that this – I mean, okay, a little bit surprising. But looking back a few weeks here, it's surprising to me that the Silverbacks are on top of the AFC right now.
Yeah, with six
and,
games.
And the Yeti. And the Yeti.
Yeah, both of those teams, yeah.
All right, the top of the NFC. Like, that's – both those teams we were talking about, you know, we thought that the Silverbacks defense was supposed to be better. They have recently been better, but they didn't start off that much better. Yep. And then the Yeti, we were talking about how inconsistent they were, and now their offense has been going off. So, you know, go ahead.
In my power rankings for last week, I had New York ranked at number 9. They were 2-2 at the time when we were discussing through the 4 weeks of the season.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot's changed from between week 4 to week 9, but I had them at number 9, and then I had Colorado at number 4 with 3-1. So I was surprised to see them start out 3-1, but I think them staying there isn't really a surprise to me. 5-0 at home, a 4-game win streak. They continue to look like one of the best teams in the league.
Both the top teams are undefeated at home so far. It's pretty interesting. Maybe there is a home field advantage. Gotta get them some testers on that.
Just don't tell the Hahalua and the Butchers that. But yeah, so my thoughts on that are exactly that. But you look at the points forward, right? And the 262 leads the ASFC with the Silverbacks lead for points four. You know, that's a little surprising to me. But you look at the other side, you have three teams with over 270 points for between the Yeti, the Sailfish, and Berlin. And I think that race is going to be crazy on that side of, you know, with the NSFC.
Well, and then having the, you know, the Wraith just hanging around in there, you know, still fighting for a spot. It's that top four is just looking interesting. You know, I thought at the beginning of the season that Philadelphia had a chance to make a run at a playoff spot. Sitting at 3-6 right now, I don't think it's mathematically out of the question, but starting to look like that's probably not going to happen.
Well, and you think about it, like these bottom three teams, right? Philadelphia, Baltimore, Chicago. You know, it's a tough thing when you're trying to rebuild or when you're kind of going into regression to play teams like Berlin and Sarasota and Colorado who have – the best passing games in the league right now. and you know, you're trying to build a team. So I think that if Philadelphia and even Baltimore were in the ASFC right now, I think they would have better records than what they have right now.
And to build on that, it's interesting this past week, you had two teams that are in the playoff hunt in the ASFC that lost to two of the lower ranked teams in the NSFC, and the Otters losing to Liberty and the Sabercats losing to the Hawks. I think that does, that's very telling about the state of the two conferences.
Yeah, I think that the Silverbacks and the Outlaws on the top of the ASFC are head and shoulders above the other teams in that division. Even though Arizona lost to the Otters, I think that, you know, it's still that way. And you could even argue that the Silverbacks are head and shoulders above Arizona, in my opinion. But
well, yeah, offensively at this point, like I mentioned when we were doing the week reviews, Arizona just seems to be struggling to move the ball recently. Teams have been shutting Nakamura down, and when that happens, it seems like Arizona's offense just falls flat. And if that continues to be a trend, this gap between New York and Arizona might continue to grow.
Yeah, I mean, Silverbacks could definitely run away with that division.
Then it becomes a, you know, a fight for second between Arizona and Orange County.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I'll take that. Just got to get in the playoffs.
Well, if Orange County's defense keeps playing the way they are and they keep feeding Tank the ball, I think that they could pull up the second place in that.
Yeah, it's very possible. Got to get our offense moving. So right now we have – thank goodness for Baltimore that they're there not scoring any points, else we'd have the worst offense in the league.
So out of the top teams right now that are in playoff contention, who's the pretenders?
I think that honestly, the Outlaws, if we were to consider one on the ASFC side, I think the Outlaws are, even though I had them highly ranked through my power rankings throughout the season so far. I think they're starting to show, you know, like the normal Outlaw outcomes of the final stretch of the season where they start to choke. It's sad to say, but I think that's what's happening. And then on the other side, the NSFC, I think that none of those teams are pretenders. I think they're all heavy hitters. And it's going to be a team from the NSFC that ends up winning the Ultimus, in my opinion.
Do you think Yellowknife has what it takes? Do it again?
They could be the surprise team, but, man, I think it's either going to be this year, I think it's either going to be Berlin or Colorado if they continue to play as they are right now.
And I hate to say it, but I have to agree with you about Arizona on the ASFC side. You know, like I said, shutting down one player seems to just absolutely ruin this team, and that's something you can't continue to have happen.
Mm-hmm. You know, to look at the flip side of that, I think it might be good for Arizona right now that they're going through their hard times at this point in the season. For the past couple seasons, they've rolled through the regular season and made it to the playoffs, and then they're out.
That's true.
You know, so this could be their times to take the beatings and to make the changes they need to go all the way.
Yeah, and it's up to the GMs over there to make the game plan changes and figure out what isn't working, because obviously teams do have an idea of how to stop them right now.
The same goes for the Sailfish, too. They started out hot. You know, I lost one game, then won a bunch in a row, and they haven't been doing – Yep. I think that the Sailfish are going to slide more than the Outlaws, to be honest, mainly because of the division they're in. I think they have more tough opponents. And yeah, I wouldn't even be surprised if they slipped out of playoff contention and the Yellowknife Wraiths took their spot.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there.
I mean, Yellowknife has won 3 straight.
Mm-hmm.
Any individual performances that have kind of surprised you guys as far as players throughout the first 9?
About this season?
I honestly think that, you know, Yellowknife Colby Jack leading the league in passing touchdowns with 25 is pretty impressive. He also has a really high passer rating again this year. He's had sustained success through multiple years now. So not necessarily that it's a surprise, but it's a highlight for me to say, you know.
Oh, yeah, and he's in a race right now with Boss Jr. Nowhere near as many yards, but he is just racking up the touchdowns. 24, he's only behind by one right now. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I mean, you have a weapon like Kai Sakura for Colby Jack there in Yellowknife, who Kai Sakura already has a 1,000-yard receiving year, you know. So that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, 1,000 yards, 9 weeks is definitely a performance to talk about. I'm curious to see where that's going to go for the rest of the season.
Yeah, and you know, go ahead.
Not only Kai Sakura either, though. William Lim also over 1,000 yards already.
Yeah, that one's a little bit more expected, though. You know,
yeah,
William Lim is such a huge part of that Colorado team.
And they just throw it so much.
Yeah, and you talked about Maxwell. You talked about Maxwell, Lucid, and he's up there, too, you know, with
851 yards.
Yeah, he's fifth in receiving yards right now. For a rookie, that's awfully impressive.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, he's the last few weeks, it's, you know, been a 100-yard performance, you know, at least 100 yards, but it's basically 150-yard performances the last couple weeks. He's put up 300 yards of those 800 in the last 2 weeks of the sim. So,
you know, we talked about Nakamura struggling recently, though, and he's still 100 yards ahead of the second-place person in yardage. So you can see just the difference in Arizona's start of the year versus what they've been going through in the last 3 weeks.
Well, yeah, and 176 attempts when the next closest is – I think 165. So you're looking at 10 attempts basically between him and Ichino's, and he's got him by, you know, just over 100 yards. So that just goes to show kind of what I've been saying throughout the whole show about Arizona needing Nakamura to perform. You know, that 862 yards and 9 touchdowns throughout the season so far. That's something they have to get going again, or it's going to be a tough end of the season.
So something funny for me talking defensive players here, sack leader, you'd guess it was like, you know, Murder Moose or Blackstone or Chainbreaker, DeVille maybe. Nope, it's wide receiver turned linebacker with block. 11 sacks on the year for with block.
Wow.
So
did they switch over this season?
They switched over in this offseason, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Because they were a receiver for Sarasota.
Hmm.
So that one is a surprise.
Made a good build there. Well, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's...
And 60 tackles, not bad. Speaking of tackles, you know, while we're talking about surprises, let's talk about the tackle leader, as you mentioned earlier in the podcast. Xavier Walls was 66.
He's
a rookie.
I'm not doing much else, though. Just getting those tackles.
I mean, 3 sacks, 2 interceptions. I mean, that's respectable numbers.
Still not bad. 5 tackles for loss. That's up there with the best of them. So I got to ask you, what kind of sacrifices are you making to the Sim Gods to get such good results all the time?
I get 1 point in predictions every week. Taking that sacrifice of TPE for
good sim luck.
For good sim stats.
Shoot, I will take it.
You know, so. And Shrub over there, not to be too far behind you with 59 tackles, 6 tackles for a loss, 3 forced fumbles, 1 fumble recovery, 5 sacks and 2 interceptions. I mean,
Bender 5 Rodriguez. Sacks for him, man.
Oh, Bender yeah.
Rodriguez is rolling. That's, you know.
He's having a decent season.
I think I still have the lead on him with TPE from our draft class, though.
Yeah, you do. I'm third to you and Glenn Smart.
We're talking about a bench tight end turned starting linebacker here. I mean,
yeah.
It's a pretty impressive performance. This guy was barely holding water bottles and clipboards in the DSFL, and now he's a star, so.
I had to make a change that that bench wasn't feeling too good on my metal ass, so I get up and do something.
So, I mean, while we're talking about Shrub here, we definitely alluded to the fact that we were going to put you on the spot, but you weren't with us last week, man. What happened?
Are we doing that now? Yeah, in the middle of the show?
The fans want to know, Shrub. The fans want to know.
You have a cult following, and they were expecting Shrub, and there was no Shrub.
Not even one of the fake Shrubs.
We didn't. I should have sent one of my impersonators. Damn. Missed opportunity. But, yeah. No, I'd like to apologize to all my fans out there who I know you guys huddle around the radio to listen to my lovely voice.
All two of you.
But I appreciate you nonetheless. Yeah, no, just some stuff came up last week, some family stuff. Don't really want to go into it. It's not really, you know.
Oh, way to go, Lucid. Way to go. Way to bring this up.
Nothing crazy, just some family drama type stuff that I had to deal with. So everything's good now for the most part, you know, and back to full speed.
Right on, man. We're glad to have you with us this week.
Your fans care about you. We don't, but your fans do. I'm just kidding.
All two of them.
We love you.
I appreciate your love.
It's time to introduce you guys to a brand new part of the Statusphere. I bring you Shrub's Casino Corner.
All right. So welcome to Shrub's Casino Corner. We got a couple of things we'll be looking at tonight. There weren't too many user bets that had to do with this week, so I'll be skipping over those. But we do have some for the future that seem interesting. They actually have to do with the Liberty, too. Because I don't know if you guys know this, but Nags loves betting people that he won't throw an interception to them.
No, I can see that.
And so we got some of those coming up in the next couple of weeks. But we'll start off with the Frost bet. You guys familiar with Frost's bet that he did this season?
No, I'm not familiar with it. Please explain.
Okay. So he made an open bet that up to 13 people could take that Sarasota would have a better record than 10 teams, assorted teams. Basically, he bet that no team other than Arizona, Berlin, and Orange County would have a better record than Sarasota. And he bet them $10 million. So he put $130 million on the table. Yeah, I'm pretty confident in Sarasota going in this season. And how is that looking for him? Well, the first half of the season, it was looking great with Sarasota being on top. The past couple weeks with Sarasota's two-loss streak has put them down in the rankings, and now currently Colorado and New York are ahead of him, are ahead of the Sailfish in their records. So it's looking pretty good for the people who took that bet.
Now, did he specifically mention those teams that would be ahead of the Sailfish?
He specifically mentioned Arizona, Berlin, and Orange County. Okay. If any other team is ahead of them, then he loses the bet. Which, you know, I'm pretty happy about because I took the bet. So, totally unbiased opinion here. If anyone knows me from around the league, they know I like to hang out at the casino and gamble my fake money. Not so much real money, but fake money for sure.
Very nice.
All right. And moving on. We'll look at since we're a little bit more than halfway through the season, we'll look at the season over-under totals and see which ones are looking good and which ones aren't looking good. So we'll start with your locks. These are going to be bets that are 100% are going to happen. And there's only one of them, and that's the Austin Copperheads had an over-under total of 10.5 wins. So if they had 11 wins, they'd win. If they have less than that, then Well, it depends on what you took. And so they only have one win this season so far. So with seven games left, it's impossible for them to beat that over. So if you bet the under, you're good.
Nice.
So we'll move on to – what's that?
I haven't put any bets in the casino yet, but
same.
You haven't used your free bet yet?
Was not aware that I had a free bet.
That was part of the charity drive. Everyone got a free $1.5 million bet.
I must have missed that in whatever article or announcement that was in.
I'm not smart enough to put it someplace that I know I'm going to do something with it.
Yeah,
you know, I feel pretty good right now with my league knowledge. So I think coming here soon, I might have to start putting some money over there in the casino.
Oh, that's a good idea. We'll have to make this a casino corner regular to keep people in the know about what's going on with the casino. It's always fun to lose money to a casino.
Could
more
we
fun
possibly
winning,
get but... paid as with sponsorship from the casino?
Oh, we should.
Hey, I mean,
Lucid, look into that.
I mean, this is the number one stat show currently streaming on the media page.
This is the number one stat show in the entire stratosphere. What else you got for us, Shrub?
All right, so
putting our money.
I'll run through these pretty quickly. These ones aren't ones you can bet in anymore. These over unders, they closed week two. But just for anyone who did bet and wants to know or is interested in betting in the future, it's good knowledge for you. So in my looking good section, we have Chicago. They had to get over 5.5 wins in order to beat the over, and they're sitting at 3 wins with 7 games left. So looking back on it, I might actually move that to a toss-up. And you never know with Chicago. Not sure why I had that one there. Moving on, you have the Hawks. They have to get over 3.5 wins to beat the over, and they're sitting at 3 wins. So I think that one is one of the more sure bets to go over. I actually placed a bet, I think $3 million on that at the beginning of the season that they'd get over that. So hopefully that goes through. Next, we have Honolulu. With 1 win, their over is 5.5 wins. So they're looking very good to hit that under. If you bet Honolulu under, you're golden. I don't see them winning 5 out of the next 7 games. Next, we have my home team, the Orange County Otters. They had an over of 7.5 games, and they're currently sitting at 5 wins. So they just need another 3 out of the 7 games left to pull that out. And I think that's looking pretty good for them, as long as their offense, you know, shows a pulse. And next, for looking good, we have the San Jose Sabercats. With 4 wins, they're looking to beat 5.5. 7 games left, I think it's a pretty good odd that they'll get at least 2 wins. I don't know if they'll get any more than that. And up next, we have the Yeti. At 7 wins, they're looking to get over 8.5 wins. And I think that's pretty much a done deal. All they gotta do is win 2 more games out of the 7. And with the streak they're on, it's gonna happen. And lastly, for the looking good, we have the Silverbacks. They have 7 wins, and they're looking to beat 10.5. So they need another 4 out of 7. I don't think that they'll go under 500 for the rest of the season. And for the last ones that are toss-ups, we start out with the Fire Salamanders. They have 6 wins. They're looking to beat 11.5. And they'd have to win 6 out of 7 games. That's probably not going to happen, in my opinion. Who knows? They could catch a streak going into the playoffs and make it happen. And up next, we have your boys' team. By your boys, I mean your guys' team, the Liberty. At 3 wins, they're over 7.5. And they'd have to win 4 out of the 7 games. That's a stretch, I believe, for them. Could make it happen, but I wouldn't bet on it. And next we have the Sailfish. They have 10.5 wins to beat. With 6 wins going into it, they'd have to win 5 out of the 7 games. And as a betting man, again, I wouldn't bet money on that. They seem to be slipping here recently. So keep your money in your wallet for that bet. Next, we have the Wraiths, who have 6 wins and are going for 9.5 wins. And they could do this, but I'm unsure if they're going to get another 4 wins this season. It's very well possible, but not strong enough for me to put my money down. And up next, we have the Outlaws. They have 6 wins, trying to get 11.5 wins. So they have to get another 6 wins in the 7 games. Again, probably not happening, especially with the way they've been playing lately. And lastly, I think the closest of the toss-up bets would be the New Orleans second line, who have 4 wins, and they're trying to get 5.5 wins. So they need 2. Who knows? If they're playing good teams, they could pull it out. If they're playing bad teams the rest of the season, they're probably not going to pull it out. And that wraps up Shrubs Casino Corner.
All right, prediction time, Lucid.
Yeah, let's go over week 10. Who wants to take us off on week 10? You guys want me to read that one?
Yeah, we can go in the same order as we did for the...
Sounds good.
For the stats.
All right, week 10 coming up. We got the Berlin Fire Salamanders at the Chicago Butchers. We got the Yellowknife Race at the Colorado Yeti. The Sarasota Sailfish at the Honolulu Hahalua. The Baltimore Hawks at the Philadelphia Liberty. The New Orleans Second Line at the Arizona Outlaws. The San Jose Sabercats at the New York Silverbacks. And the Austin Copperheads are visiting the Orange County Otters. Going through this one, if I had to make my predictions, I'm going to say that Berlin is going to take it over Chicago. Colorado is going to roll and knock off the Wraith. Sarasota is going to get it back on track over the Hahalua. The Liberty are going to pick up another win over Baltimore. The Arizona Outlaws are going to also right their ship and take out New Orleans second line. The Silverbacks are going to beat San Jose.
8-game win streak if they do that.
And I have the Orange County Otters continuing their playoff contention here with another win over Austin. So what do you guys think in week 10?
Like I said, Silverbacks, if they win again, they got an 8-game win streak going.
Yep.
That's my biggest takeaway from this week, because I want to see if the Silverbacks can do it. Otherwise, most of those other games seem pretty straightforward. They're not always straightforward, as we have found out in the past, but they seem pretty straightforward as to who should win them.
What do you guys think of the Colorado versus Yellowknife game? Who takes that one?
I mean, I think the Yeti's offense is too high-flying. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I'm guessing it's probably going to be like 45 to 38, 37, something like that. Yeti take it.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely see the Yeti pulling it out. I don't know if it's going to be quite as high-scoring, but Yeti victory for sure. I think I agreed with you on all of them except for one game. And maybe I'm pulling a fast one on you guys. But
you think the Hawks are going to beat us, you jerk.
I think the Hawks are going to beat the Liberty this game. It's a perfect opportunity for them, too.
My only defense against that, and this is my line of thought, the Hawks are a running team. Liberty have been very good at stopping the run this year. So that's my thing with that. So as soon as teams start throwing the ball a lot against us, especially a team like the Hawks, I think that's where we pull it out.
All right, so I'm going to take notes here. At this time, delete everything Shrub said. All right, I got that noted down.
Shrub wasn't even on the show.
Right.
I don't know what happened. He didn't come this week either.
But yeah, otherwise, all those I think are pretty straightforward. I do think the Hawks Liberty game is going to be one of the closest ones. Second line Outlaws, I think, is going to be a close game too, and then the Race and Yetis. Otherwise, Fire Salamander should butcher the Butchers. Sailfish should absolutely impale the Hahalua. Silverback should just pummel the Sabercats, and then the Otters should pull that one out against the Copperheads pretty easily.
They should pull it out. I think it's going to give us some heart attacks, though. That's how we play. Week 11. To start off week 11, we have the Yellowknife Race taking on Berlin in Berlin. This game has big playoff implications here, depending on what happens in the week before. This could be the game that decides these two teams' fates. I'm going to go with Berlin here, as they've only lost one home game this whole season. I think they'll win 34-21. Next up, we have Sarasota at Baltimore. I would be extremely happy if Baltimore gets their win here to beat the odds against the casino versus Sarasota. That being said, I don't expect it. I think it will be a fairly easy game with Sarasota winning 37-17. Up next, we have Philadelphia taking on Colorado in Colorado. Colorado looks to maintain the top spot in the conference. They are also undefeated at home, as we have discussed, and I think it'll stay that way. I think it'll be a close one, though, and I think Colorado pulls it out 34-28. Following that, we have Chicago at Arizona. Even though Arizona's been struggling recently, it's hard for me to pick a team against them, even though several teams they've shown that Arizona's beatable. I think that Chicago comes surprisingly close to winning, but falls short with a 28-24 victory for Arizona. After that, we have the Silverbacks taking on the second line. New Orleans has beaten some good teams this year. I don't think it's going to happen again. With New York playing great on both sides of the ball, I think it's going to be a fairly easy win at 31-14, a New York victory. And next, we have the Sabercats taking on the Copperheads. Could Austin pull up an upset here? I don't think so. I think San Jose stays in the playoff hunt with a win, 27-20.
You don't think that one's going to end in a tie again?
I mean, I'm never betting on a tie. It's like betting on zero at the roulette table. Just don't do it. Or you do it every time. Moving on. You have Honolulu at Orange County. Honolulu has struggled a lot this season, and I think it continues here. Hopefully an easy victory for Orange County. I think they'll win 27-10. And please, 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 Sim Gods, don't make me eat my words. And
sacrifice something this week.
Right. That's the end of the week. Any thoughts?
Go ahead,
Titan.
I think the Butchers are going to be the Outlaws. You say that they're not going to do it again, but I don't know. I just have a gut feeling on that one.
I also, if I was going to pick something, I think you're being way too generous about those struggling offenses for Arizona and Chicago with that predicted score.
Oh, yeah?
3-6, final score.
Yeah, right.
I don't think – I'll be surprised if either team scores over 21 points in that game.
I would agree with that. Unless Nakamura suddenly goes off for a 300-yard game, which he could.
You very well could make me eat my words, which
eat both of our words.
All right. I guess that's the betting man in me. Whenever I don't like to bet low scores, because whenever I do, they always have a shootout. I like to bump those scores up a little bit.
I also don't want to burst your bubble, but I do not think that Baltimore is going to get their over against the Sarasota Sailfish.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't think so either.
I don't see that happening.
It would make me happy, though.
And I agree with you on the Liberty game too. The Yeti last time they played us, just they're a passing team, and that's pretty much, you know, I think where we have struggled this year is to stop high flying passing games. And I think that game is going to be pretty high scoring. I hope I eat my words.
We need a big game from Xavier Walls and CJ Soniak back there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think everything CJ, else
is if you strange. Haven't out there, if you haven't looked at CJ Soniak's stats this season, you should look at his amount of pass defenses to the times that he's been thrown at. He is leading the league in pass defense efficiency by like 20-some percent over the next closest person.
I believe
he had that big of a gap there.
He had a ton against us.
He has more pass defenses than he has tackles.
When he played the Otters, he had 3 pass defenses in that game.
Yeah, he had a game this season where he had 7 pass defenses in a game. Jeez. And he had like 1 tackle. Yeah. So there's something to be said for that type of play, especially since he's on he's generally on receivers who are in the slot, and those are sometimes a lot of the better receivers, in my opinion, that people put there. So.
So to just cut in really quickly, totally off subject of ISFL football here, but we have the Game 6 NHL playoff game going on. We just received a notification that the Vegas Golden Knights have tied the game and is now 1-1.
Oh, man.
I'm going to zoom through this.
This is going to be the clinching game of the series. So I'm just cutting in with a game break for yeah.
Yeah, we gotta
wrap
this
up. I'm gonna zoom through this so that these boys can go watch their hockey. All right, so week 12.
Hockey fan.
Quick zooming. Week 12. This is a huge week for a lot of playoff implications. A lot of teams playing each other that are high ranking. First off, Fire Salamanders are playing at Sarasota. I think that the Fire Salamanders win this game in a last second effort of a high-scoring game. I think both teams are going to go over 35 points in this game. Next game up, Yellowknife Wraiths versus the Otters. At this point, with the last 2 weeks playing out the way that they have said, based on Shrub and Lucid's predictions, I think that the Otters will come out on this game and win it, and they will, you know, kick the Wraiths out of playoff contention. So I think that's going to be a close game. It's going to be probably a medium scoring game, 20 to 24 points apiece, but I do think the Otters are going to pull it out. Yeti beat the Hawks. Moving on. Liberty versus the Butchers. I think that the Liberty are going to pull this one out. We always tend to play good against Chicago. Even in Chicago, I think that the Liberty are going to win this one by at least a touchdown, maybe 10 points. Arizona versus the Silverbacks. I think the Silverbacks are going to win this and have 10 wins in a row going into the end of the season. Second line versus the Copperheads, this is going to be a toss-up. It could be a tie. This could be a tie game. I really can't go one way or the other. Both teams' offensive have been a toss-up week to week. Really, I don't have a lot of for sure, 100%, I think this is going to happen in this game. Fidel Sand's going to get his yards. Bodenhammer's going to get his yards. There's going to be a lot of turnovers. Copperhead's defense and second line's defense both have been spottedly good. So that game is going to be a very close game, and I think second line will pull it out, but it's a toss-up. Final game of the week, Sabercats versus the Hahalua. Never know with the Sabercats again, but they should pull this one out. I predict that Jamar Laxon is going to have a big game here, and they're going to pull it out and win it by multiple touchdowns.
Right.
That's week 12.
What do you got for you got a power ranking update?
Power ranking update. I think number one, biggest move of the year so far, Silverbacks move up to number one in ranking. I still have Berlin as number two. overall rankings here, not by division. Number three goes to the Sailfish. They're playing solid ball right now. Number four, I'm going to put the Yeti there. They have been playing very good offensively, and they could be number three here based on next week's game. I would move them up if they win and the Sailfish lose. Number five, going to the Outlaws here. They've been dropping down, and you know they could drop down even further as we go on. After that, I have the Otters. They're pretty close with the Race, though. The Otters and the Race are both pretty close here in the next spots. Both of them have their strengths. Race are a little bit stronger offensively, while the Otters have the defense. After this, my opinion, it goes to Philly. I think Philly is the next best team on the list, even though the records are not showing that. I think Philly has an up-and-coming team, and we are going to continue to get better. And then after that, I would have to go second line, Sabercats, and then the bottom three teams in no particular order. Butchers, Copperheads, Hallelujah.
Yeah, I agree with you in certain areas, but there are certain spots that we have some pretty big differences. Notably, right off the bat at the top, I have Colorado Yeti at number one this week. I had them at number four in my previous power rankings. They move up three spots to take the top spot on my list. I have the New York Silverbacks at number two, moving up from number nine with one of the biggest jumps.
Big jump.
On the power ranking. I have the Berlin Fire Salamanders at number three, moving up from number six. I had Sarasota at four, dropping down my list from number two last week. Where we differ here, I have Orange County at number five, actually moving down from number three where I had them last week. I have Arizona at six, falling from the top spot all the way down to number six. I have the Yellowknife at seven, dropping down from number five. Then I have New Orleans at number eight, moving all the way up from 13. I have Philly at number nine, dropping down one spot from number eight. San Jose at 10, dropping down from 7. Baltimore at 12. Chicago at 12, dropping down from 11. So I basically just swap those two. I think at this point, Baltimore is the better team. I have Austin at 13, dropping down from 10. And Honolulu at the bottom with at 14, which they were 14 last week for me.
I think those three teams, and just in defense, those three teams, the Outlaws, the Race, and Otters, they're all pretty close, I think, in my opinion, of who could go where. They all have their strengths.
You have anything to add to that, Shrub?
No, I don't have any power rankings prepared. I do think it's interesting how highly you guys have the Silverbacks ranked. They're a good team. But just in our conversation and how tough you guys talked about the NSFC is, I was surprised to see them as one and two.
Well, and like I said, with them, I think they're heads and shoulders above the other teams in that division.
Sure.
So they're heavy hitters right up there with those other three teams from the NSFC, the ASFC, whichever one.
No, it's definitely a fair point. I just wasn't expecting it.
Yeah, I just think they're playing so – like, they started off slow with their defense. We talked about this last week. And now that they have their offense rolling, Captain Rogers is going insane right now. And their defense is starting to play the way that they were expected to play at the beginning of the year. So I think that that's what propels them up my list so far into this week.
Yeah,
same with Lucids.
I basically agree with everything you said about them there. I have nothing really to add to that. That's basically the same reason why I moved them from 9 to 2. So,
yeah. And the Yeti are very close to moving up to number two on my list. I mean, their offense is so good and their defense is disruptive. They could very well be one or two by after this next coming week of games.
through 4 weeks, they were 3-1. I had them at number four. We're now 9 weeks in. They're at the top of the division. I mean, they've only lost one more game. I can't really say, ask for anything more from them. I think they've shown to me, at least through 9 weeks, that they are the best team in the league, at least in my opinion. You had who, Berlin at the top?
I had, I believe I said.
Or New York, you said. Sorry.
I had New York at the top, and then I went Berlin, and then the Yeti. Or was it? I think Yeti was four on my list, weren't they?
I think you had Yeti at four. I think you had New York, Berlin, Sarasota, and then the Yeti.
Yeah.
But either way, respectable power rankings. We'll see how we adjust next week.
And that glass shattering means it's time for the hot takes. What's the hot takes for this week, guys?
All right, hot takes. What do you got for us, Titan?
Week 10, hot take. Silverbacks, 8-game win streak. That's it.
You're saying they're going to keep it?
I'm saying they're going to keep it. That's just wait good. Till you hear the week after's hot take.
Good. Let's go. Week 11, what do you got?
Week
Silverbacks, 9-game win streak. Wait till you hear week 12.
Let's go. Let's go with week 12. I gotta know. The suspense is killing me.
Silverbacks, 10-game win streak. I think they're going to continue to roll through all three of these weeks, and they are going to get a huge win streak going into the end of the year here.
I like it. All right, Sherb, what do you got for us? Week 10, hot take.
All right, week 10, hot take. In a room full of Liberty, I got to go against the King. Here we go. The Hawks beat the Liberty in OT with a touchdown.
I don't like your attitude right now.
Did you just hear some static, Lucid? I think the thing got screwed up there. We couldn't get Shrub in here. Shrub wasn't able to give his hot take for this week. Sorry. No, just kidding.
Hold on, let me get my pen real quick. I have another note here. Delete this section of
Shrub. Who asked for Shrub to come back? Right? Okay.
All right, what do you got for us? Week 11, Shrub. I don't know if I care about your week 10 prediction anymore.
Week 11 hot take? Yeah. you guys hear me now? We're good?
Good. The static's gone.
Depends. Yep. I don't know. What are you going to say?
I think that the Yeti are going to beat the Liberty.
That's a cold take, dude.
Real cold take. In surprising fashion, though, they're going to blow them out. I don't know. I don't think there are really too many hot takes from this one, from this week. But moving on to week 12. I'm going to leave it at that. Yeah, I'm leaving it at that cold take.
There's a lot of Liberty hate here. I don't like it.
Liberty have anything to do with your week 12 hot take, Shrub?
I mean, possibly. I think the Liberty go on a 3-game losing streak and they lose.
I to
the
hate Butchers. You. Who even likes Shrubs?
Who let me in the room?
We should all just right, only so let him do casino talk.
So now that you guys have New York on a 10-game win streak and Philly on a 3-game losing streak, I'm going to go ahead and get a little serious here.
Was serious.
My hot takes for week 10. I have New Orleans knocking off Arizona in week 10. My hot take for week 11, the Austin Copperheads will win over San Jose. And my hot take for week 12, I have Berlin beating Sarasota. My hot take for the next 3 weeks.
My hot take, I guess, for week 12 more so would be that I think that second line Copperheads are going to tie.
Bet not a tie. All right.
Other than the Silverbacks going on a 10-game win streak.
All right, that wraps up another episode of the Statosphere. I believe that's what we're going to call it. And our first episode was Shrub. Like I said, welcome back, Shrub.
Thank you.
Sorry if the quality went down for all you Liberty lovers out there.
Yeah, it was
through the floor.
I do feel a little personally attacked right now. But
I thought we were friends, but
we'll discuss that off air, I guess. And join us next week as you see who Shrub's replacement will be. I'll see you guys next week.
Nice knowing
you.
That's it, guys. That's the show. Thanks for hanging out with us. And as always, I appreciate anyone who's taken the time to listen. Catch us next week. And if you enjoyed the show, rate, follow, review, and join our world.